Hey everybody, this is Drew.
And it's your boy Blake.
You're listening to the Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Controllers podcast.
Welcome to the podcast. Before we get into it, I just want to shoot through our social media preamble. You can find us on all the social media platforms, as I think all of them at this point. Yeah. Just search the name of the podcast.
Are we active on any of them? No, but you can find
us. But we're
on
there.
We're there. We're not active. Nobody. We sit on other podcasts. We got these things. We just don't. We're bad. We're old.
What do you call it? Lurkers? Where we lurk on our own page.
Anyway.
Like I said, you just search the name of the podcast. You find us on that. And that's where you keep track of our comings and goings. Most importantly, we want people to come to our Twitch streams with our podcast editor / cousin Brian. We tend to do those most Wednesdays after 9:30 Central is what we try to do, but life happens. But most of the time it's 9:30 Central on Wednesday evenings. And when you come hang out and join us, you can see a kind of a preview of some of the upcoming things. And in conjunction with that, I have started taking our streams off Twitch and then immediately posting them to, not immediately, I have them set timed because there's a bunch of them, but I have them set to show up the following Saturday on YouTube. We've started doing that, and eventually here shortly, I have to finish getting some clips over to our other cousin Daniel. He's making us an intro for the YouTube channel, and mm-hmm. Then once I get that done, I'm gonna start putting my entire playthrough of RoboCop on there, and once that goes out there, we'll actually have an episode about when we played that.
We're working on stuff.
Yeah, so besides that, we do have the only other thing I think we have is we have a store and a Patreon. You can hop on the Patreon. Speaking of the RoboCop, it is actually already posted on the Patreon unedited. So you can watch me sleep for like a half hour one day when I was like episode 6 or 7. I just fell asleep playing it for like a half hour.
Yeah, I think we'll have a, speaking of our YouTube videos, we were doing one of our Twitches the other night of a game Blake didn't enjoy, Expeditions. And you might hear like me, and when that video comes out, you might hear me and Brian just kind of talking about video games and talking about stuff like that. And Blake's goes silent for a long time. You might catch him snoring on that,
probably.
Too.
Probably.
He did not like Expeditions at all.
I did not. That being said, besides the Patreon, we do have a store where you can buy shirts and hoodies, beanies, cups, a glorious pair of underwear. Please check that out. And all the show notes to everything will be in the show notes. All the clickable links will be in the show notes. Just click show more, and it'll show everything you can click on. And I think that covers everything, so I don't think we announced it properly on the last episode because we were so excited to be hanging out with Jared again that we did it previously at episode 121, so this is 131. Mm-hmm. We kind of do like a palate cleanser because these are a couple of games that... So the list is going to do a game that Drew played and beat, and then I was playing at the same time, and Drew's like, I didn't really enjoy it, so you probably don't want to continue wasting your time. Okay.
Blake decided to play the whole thing.
No, that was... you're right. I did it in reverse. So there's a game that I played that Drew started, said it wasn't super great, but I was like, I'll go ahead and give it a try just to, shake a stick at it. And I didn't super enjoy it, but I was already like in the thralls and I'd already gotten a bunch of achievements, and I was like, how many more do I got? And I was like, okay, let me go ahead and just finish this out. So I went ahead and finished it out, not super enjoyed my time in it. And then there's another game that Drew played to completion. And by the time I was playing it, he was like, it's not super great. I don't think you'll enjoy it. And so he finished it. I didn't. And then our third game will be one that he and I actually both completed.
Yeah. If we're kind of judging this by how long it takes us to talk about the other games, but we will try to get to all three games. This is like our old you know, old podcast format where we try to talk about, but back then we tried to talk about entire games. I mean, granted, one of us did beat each of these three games, and then we both beat the third one, so we'll see how long we talk about each one based on our experiences with them. We'll try to make these a little quicker. Blake does have notes for developers. Two smaller games and one bigger company, mm-hmm. so it's one will be easier to talk about, but while we keep talking in circles, we can go ahead and jump into that first game.
So the first game is, I guess, widely unknown, maybe.
It's got to be completely unknown.
It was a little difficult to find some stuff for it, but the game is called Silvio. S-Y-L-V-I-O. Silvio.
My name is Juliet Waters. I work as an audio recordist, specialized in EVP, electronic voice phenomena. Or as my friends say, I'm a ghost recorder. But I like to see it more as a two-way communication. I'm intrigued to know why they chose to linger in between the worlds. Or maybe they didn't choose at all.
And it was originally released on Windows June 5th, 2014, and then was ported to consoles January 13th of 2017. So quite a few years later.
Yeah. This is probably the batch of other stuff that I'm currently playing, and Blake's a little behind me on this. I've sorted my Xbox library by purchase date, and I have started from the bottom, and we're trying to, like, hey, let's play games we've bought and work our way up. So this is like we talk about on the podcast, we'll buy anything for $5. We're getting a little rolling through this list of purchased games. We've decided to amend the buy anything for $5. I've come across a bunch of games that I do not have any interest in playing that I must have bought for $5. Silvio's not the worst of this. Silvio's is weird in its own way, and Blake will talk more about it because he played it longer. But so this is part of a series of games you might catch across the podcast of we bought this for $5
or less.
And Drew's playing the purchase history of his Xbox, trying to like get his money's worth out of some of these games.
So
I guess $5 or less.
Yeah, $5 or less. I mean, it's hard to get burnt on a $2.99 game, but sometimes you do. Silvio not being one of them. It is published and developed by it's Swedish. I may mispronounce this, but it's Stroboscope. Stroboscope. Mm-hmm. It's a Swedish company that's been in around since 2009, and it is a singular dude, Nicholas Swanberg. And you're like, oh man, that's crazy. But since 2009 to his most recent release, which was last year, matter of fact, it was barely last year. It was October 25th, 2024, so just a few months ago.
Well, he's cracking well.
And he has made 7 games. That's not awful in that, you know, especially being by himself. He did some smaller ones. Something called Stairs, another one called Raiju, and another one called Lechuzu. Those ones were a little more difficult to find. I think those were probably mobile only or Windows only. But then it's crazy because he actually made 2 other sequels to Silvio. There's Silvio 1, 2, and then Silvio Black Waters, which is his most recent one, that's the one that came out October 25th, a few months ago.
Nice.
And there's another one called Brutalism. That one's in between 2 and 3.
But not related?
Not related, no. But I'm actually kind of curious because I watched a brief trailer for Black Waters. I was like, I didn't realize he was still going.
So what happens most of the time when we find these games like this, it's a one-off and the company's vanished forever.
Unfortunately, that happens.
That's y'all, if you listen to the podcast, we've mentioned a lot of games like this. We're like, Blake can't find nothing. And I'll ask, if they make anything else? And Blake's like, I don't know. I can't find anything.
They either went defunct or were absorbed by another company, or they're all freelance, and so they just kind of work together on this project.
Yeah, so it's interesting that we'll probably be looking into whether Blake had to play them on PC or not. But like Silvio 1's on Xbox, but we'll see if we can find the other ones. There might be like an updated episode where Blake has attempted to play the other two, maybe.
It's possible. I'll have to look into them. But the Silvio Blackwater looked cleaner. It looked a lot, you know, because that's the difference between what'd I say, 2017 or 2014 rather, to 2024, 10-year gap in his abilities and you know, the amount of money he's made to upgrade his rigs and stuff.
And what the development tools, like you say Unity or Unreal, this is Unity. That'd be my guess. This is a smaller Unity game, so I imagine Unity's upgraded over years, more user friendly, and he's gotten better. So the game's good. You didn't show me the trailer, so.
Yeah. But it looks to be similar, because the whole point of the Silvios is it's EVP, electronic voice phenomenon, where you have the recorder and you listen to things, and ghosts. Then you can hear words in the static from ghosts or entities that have gone beyond our physical realm. And so the Blackwater looked cool because it was a person in a spacesuit on the moon, and they were following radio signals on the moon. I'm like, that was kind of cool and creepy. We'll see, because Silvio was ambitious, I would guess, because it took me about 13 hours to get the TA. I didn't realize I'd played that long, but I was following a guide, and I was kind of going through the motions.
Yeah, when I had stopped playing, I was tired of getting lost.
Yes.
So that's when I kind of was like, okay, I've had enough of this. And I was like, you could try it, but I don't know. And you must have liked, when we talk about it, you must have liked something about it to stick with it while getting lost.
I hated the main hub area.
Is that that foresty section?
Yeah, that's the part, you know, that's the spot that's called the main park. And it's, you come through there multiple times, and that's how you get everywhere. And there's no mini map at all. So I had to, it was crazy how I did it, but the guide on TA had somebody else create pen and paper maps on, like, whatever, Google Photo or whatever, using the grid paper. And they're like, this, you know, and they did what the best they could. They had, like, a key and a legend. And you're like, this blue X is
a lot of work to put into a game that nobody's ever going to play.
Yeah. But I was able to, with that guide, I was like, because they did a really good job of mapping it. Because I would, like, walk around the edge of the map to find where I was.
TA folks, when they want something to work, they put in, like, it's like the old GameFAQs guides, people who would just put like a stupid amount of work into something, especially those obscure, like I said, really obscure ones. People put hundreds of hours of work into something that nobody's ever going to see. It's just that niche of like people who love something.
Oh yeah. And I always try my best to even double checked on all the guides that I used with the games we've played, and I went back and made sure that I had thumbed up the author for making the guides, and I did, thankfully. Sometimes I forget, but like it was all written out, and then someone else, I guess he contacted somebody else to make the maps for him, and so, but I was able to get through them. But the worst part was that
central hub.
Was that central hub, just because it was so open and there's no mini map and the whole
thing. Was the central hub, was that just used for traversal, or did you actually do some ghosty stuff in there while you're...
The longest part there was when I was... Because once you're there in the opening hub, you can find all the collectibles, because this game is a collect-a-thon. It is a collect. You're finding shredded sheet music, you're finding voice recordings, you're finding... you're shooting crows to off of things, and... It's just so many things to collect, and you're catching, you know, EVP, but you can do it. The reason it took me so long is because the majority of my time was in that first area, the second area, the main hub, was I collected everything there.
You're in a big circle and collect everything?
Collected everything. And then when I went to the stories, it was like, shoot over here. And then he's like, when you're back at the main hub, shoot east. Go east until you get to your next, and he'll tell you, like, you're going through a giant archway that looks like a roller coaster. You're going through a giant archway that looks like an ice cream machine. And so, like...
Yeah, because it was like you were, like, investigating a theme park or something.
Yeah, probably an abandoned theme park.
That's probably what got us to buy it originally, I'm guessing. We might have watched a trailer, and it's like, do ghost hunting in an abandoned theme park. And I'm like, well, that sounds interesting for $5 or less. I would have bought it probably years and years and years ago.
And so, like, it's got, besides your boom mic and your EVP recordings that you're doing through the whole thing, because some of the ghosts you encounter are aggressive, because you listen to voices, and you have these little black misty spheres that are like aggressive ghosts that if they touch you, it's insta-kill. You'd instantly die. So you have to shoot them with your only weapon, which is a potato gun.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that. Maybe the salt on the potato hurt the things, but I'm like, just use rock salt, like shotgun blast rock salts. But I mean, maybe that's just me.
What was the potato gun? You said potato gun. I remember a flash of like running around that prologue area.
The prologue area, I really liked the underground garage. That was really cool.
Enclosed. Did you shoot potatoes? Or are you not shooting bags of salt or something? I don't remember.
It calls it a potato gun, and because the graphics are so weak, you just shoot like a dark object out, and it looks like a potato. and you have to fill up with pressure cans, like refill your nitrous, like when you do a, what do you call it, O2?
O2.
Like you do when you shoot paintballs and stuff. So okay. I don't think it was paintballs.
So surely we could make the logical leap that maybe they're shooting, maybe she is shooting bags of salt. Because I don't know what shooting potatoes at a ghost would do.
I don't know.
Potato guns can shoot other things besides potatoes. They can shoot a bag full of salt. I mean, that's...
It's possible, but I think it's funnier that you're shooting him with potatoes. And that's the story I'm sticking to.
In this world, ghosts do not like potatoes.
No. But you go around, like I said, you go through a couple of different little hub-like areas. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can find my list.
Yeah, so I must have played I would have played the prologue area, solved all the little puzzles. I probably follow on the same TA guide. Get to the open area, the central hub, got irritated, and I was just like, because I'm getting quicker and quicker to drop games these days, because there's so many freaking games to play, like nearly infinite number of games to play. If I'm getting annoyed or not having fun, what's the thing we say if we haven't played a game for a couple of days and we haven't thought about it, then we need to move on.
Exactly. Like, if you're not, you're like, oh, I can't wait to get to the end of that story or whatever, or you're like, I can't wait to go back to that gameplay.
Yeah.
And you've been like 2 or 3 days and you're like, what am I going to play? You're like, oh yeah, I have that game.
That I haven't thought about.
That I haven't thought about at all.
It's time to give up on it.
Yeah.
Kind of. Now, if anybody else you have trouble with feeling guilty about playing games or like stuff like that, try that mentality. If you do something else for a couple of days or end up playing some games with some friends or just do something for a couple of days and you come back and you're like, what was that game I was playing? Let it go.
Or trick yourself. I've done this before too, where, you know, a coin flip or roll a die. You're like, heads I do this, tails I do this, or, you know, odd number do this, even number do that. And you roll or flip and it lands on something. You're like, ooh, I actually really want the other thing. Cool. You made up your mind. You don't want that. Go do what your brain's telling you that you want. So trick, like, play the game. And you're like, do I want to play this game again? You flip the coin. You're like, heads I'll play it, tails I win. You're like, heads, you're like, I really don't want to play that game. Then don't play the game.
Yeah.
Because I've done that. I've literally done the coin flip a thing about playing. Because I don't want to finish this game. Because I always complain about people not finishing
games.
Not beating games.
Well, we come from a history of achievement hunting where we played so many bad games to get all the achievements in them.
To completion, yeah.
Yeah, to completion. So we've had to change. This podcast helped us kind of change that gaming lifestyle. So this has been helping your gaming life by Drew and Blake. Mm-hmm. Life gaming life lessons. That's a new segment.
So yeah, that'll be a fancy life hack.
Oh gosh.
But I was just counting the areas you go. You go to 7 different areas. Mm-hmm. Well, 9 if you want to count that main hub area. And my
7. Did you just go from 7 to 9?
No, did I?
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So, yeah, there's 9 total.
He said 7. If you count this one middle area, that's 9.
I mean, it's a big area, honestly. So it counts as 2. I'll give it that.
Yeah, whatever. So, 8 areas? Is there 8 areas or is there 9?
There's 9 total, counting the... Okay. But the first two areas were great. It's confusing, sort of. Because you go to a park. You definitely go to a theme park.
Mm-hmm.
And...
For a game that we had a trailer that advertised a theme park, it's a little while before you get there.
Yeah, because you go to the park entrance, you pull up in your car, get out your potato gun and your EVP stuff and your flashlight, and then you parkour over the park entrance. And while you're walking around, you fall on like a glass plating as part of your thing, part of your exploration, and you fall down into a cellar. Mm-hmm. Which is actually like a lounge area, but then it turns, as you fully explore, it's a lounge area, but then it turns into a garage that's underground, like an actual garage, not like a pull-in garage, but like their mechanics garage. And then from there, you make your way from there out to the main area of the theme park, and then you go to like an ice cream place, a big house, like a big house fun mirror thing. Then you go to a fun fair, which is like, I guess, got like a couple of different rides, and then a hotel, which is like just like a building in nothingness. And then you go to a zoo and then an observatory.
So this is not a theme park game.
And I was like, what is going on? And like, unless I'm going to like Dollywood or Disney World, I'm like, no theme park has a zoo, an observatory. Like, it has a lot of things for. Mm-hmm. But again, maybe Swedish people treat their, you know, citizens better with better theme parks. I don't know. More diverse things, but like I said, it is just a collectathon. I don't have a lot to say because you're like I said, you're collecting EVP, you're collecting something called Bobby's Reels, which is this person who maybe either murdered a bunch of people or is a victim. I was kind of hard to tell. Because as you're going through everything, you do each area has a boss. And the bosses look kind of cool. There are these giant shadow figures that look kind of cool that once you've gathered all the evidence, you then fight these things. And it's literally you're just shooting them with your potato gun. And then once you've shot them enough and survived, because if they touch you, it's insta-kill and you have to restart everything over. But you do get pretty good. I mean, as your pressure gets less, your potato goes bleh. You know, kind of shoots right out your feet, so you have to constantly reload and stuff. But once you've beat them, then you get to solve the mystery. The mystery of, like, how this boss being or creature died, essentially. And so you essentially do, like, a little seance. And each one of them has, like, four questions, and you're slowly solving about how they died. Mm-hmm. In a case, like, I'm just going to read, this is the question for, like, the first one. Because your question is, how did you die? And all of the stuff you found to the EVP are the answers. And so as long as you've explored all the audio tapes by fully running forward and fully running backward in the audio recordings, you can find all the hidden messages. And so you, like, ask the character, you're like, how did you die? And then you have to, like, listen to the recording that's happening now, and you hear the word drown. And then you go, and it'll be like drown, and then in a storm, can't swim. And you hear him like, can't swim. You like hear him whisper and stuff. So you realize he died because it stormed. He couldn't swim and he drowned. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, where did you die? And they're like, in the woods. I met these people, the Hensons. And you're like, okay. And then you have to slowly fill out. And then this other ghost was like, how do you feel? Blue. Why? I was burnt. And then you're like, you find out this girl is sad because she was burnt in the woods by this family drowned after a storm. And you're like, Jesus Christ. He's this poor person. No wonder they were an angry, vengeful ghost that was killing everyone in one hit. Mm-hmm. And so you find out, you know, all these people's mysteries and stuff. And then once you've solved it, you've beat the creature of the area and you've expelled them, excised them, I'm not really sure. And then you get to move on to your next area. Now, you can keep coming back if you want to keep exploring. But, you know, with my guide, I was able to get everything in one fell swoop and dip out. Like I said, it did take me 13 hours. And because I was, a lot of it was being lost in that second hub area, which I don't know if anyone just heard that, but you accidentally clicked a thing, and that's what the entire second area was. You're in a, I don't even know how to describe it really, but you're in like decaying wasteland with fog everywhere and constant howling wind. Now there is some music usually like when you're fighting a boss or like there's like certain intense moments that do tend to have their own music. And I thought this was kind of funny and cool because this doesn't normally happen because we've joked about it with other companies. Like when someone's a single person developer, when it comes to making a game, they do everything but the music because they do the coding, they do this. But the composer for Silvio is a band called Traed, T-R-A, but with the O above the A-D. And that is actually two people. Hold on, let me find my note again. They are a Swedish electronic duo from Stockholm, and they've been around since 2011. They do compressed live drums, talkback vocals, analog synthesizers, and arpeggio loops. And they are Frank Wagneris and Nicholas Swanberg. It's his own band who did the music, so I thought that normally doesn't happen when these solo developers make a game, but he's inclined to be both. Yeah. So kudos to him for being able to do that, and I thought that was really cool for the moments that there were music. Because when there wasn't, it was just howling winds over a desolate wasteland. And that got annoying. To the point where like I just like, turned the volume down on my headset and listened to something else just because I was tired of hearing...
Yeah, I was clicking on the Steam thing for... Only Silvio 2 is on Steam, so I'll let you know if you're on sale, if you want to play Silvio 2 on Steam.
But I think that about does it. Do you have any questions you want to ask, Jerry? I don't really have.
No, I think I pretty much got it covered because we don't want to spend a whole episode on a game that like a game kind of like that. I know it seems rude, but it's like a game that you play that you. I mean, if you beat it, maybe we should talk about it. That's kind of where we kind of sit sometimes. Yeah. If you play it all the way through,
but there's not a lot to talk about, unfortunately.
Yeah,
maybe more if I like played it legitly. But if I played it legitly, I would have quit the game.
Yeah,
honestly,
without a guide,
I definitely would have quit.
Yeah, that's Silvio. Probably pretty cheap on Xbox if you're interested. It is on Steam, and Silvio 2 is on Steam. For some reason, Silvio 3 is not showing up on Steam.
It just came out, so maybe it shows a Windows first, so maybe it's, you know, it'll get in like the next year or so to get ported over.
Yeah. So we'll move on now. Blake can talk about this. This is a bigger one. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this because, as you will tell by my whatever little parts that I have, that I ended up really... This is a game that ended with me having a... One, this game's a disappointment, first and foremost. It's a big disappointment. Two, this game is the first in a long time that the last boss of this game made me really, really hate this game. It, like, quite literally, like, lowered my overall opinion of the entire game by the time I had beat it and played the last boss. Hated it so much that there's DLC that adds to the story to, like, get you maybe more story to a better ending. And I was like, no, thank you. I don't want to do this anymore.
That's fair.
So now we'll let Blake intro the game. We'll talk about, like I said, this is a bigger thing. This is a bigger game. This is a known game. A bigger developer who's had a checkered history. But I don't want to spend like hours, you know, talking about this in particular because Blake didn't beat it, and I'm incredibly disappointed in it.
Well, I was closing my windows so that I could pull it up. So now our second game is the Callisto Protocol. It originally came out on PlayStation and Xbox December 2nd, 2022. It's not really that old. And it was developed by Striking Distance Studios. They are 15 people and have made two games. This game, Callisto Protocol, and then they did recently, and I mean, came out October 31st last year, 2024. And it is called Redacted. Now, it's kind of confusing to me. So Redacted is a... isometric top-down survival wave shooter type city, one of those ones, but it actually takes place at Black Iron, a state-of-the-art penitentiary located on Jupiter's icy moon Callisto, and is overrun with hordes of infected inmates. It's a spin-off of Callisto Protocol inside the same prison at the same time, but you play a security guard instead of our main character, killing it's off
not,
hordes.
Not that much of a leap. Honestly,
it just seems a little strange, and like when it also like the graphical leap is down, it's more of like a cartoony comic book looking thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The one thing this game does have is graphics. I mean,
like I said, it just says as a modest prison guard, your job is simple: to get to the last escape pod and get out alive. But unfortunately, you have a bunch of deranged and violent gangsters and maniacs trying to kill you, so you must get through them to save yourself. Only one of you can make it off this moon. Make sure it's you.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, this is... Maybe it's more fun than the game. I don't know. With some more simplistic thing, maybe have more fun with it.
Yeah.
But it's crazy that it's like I said, they've made two games, 15 people, and have two studios. One in San Ramos, California. The other one is Zaragoza, Spain.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know I don't know all the stuff about them right now, but you might have noticed quite a few of them are members originally from Visceral Games, which I've mentioned on the podcast. All the Visceral Games was pretty much dead and gone by the time we started this podcast. But Visceral Games, the main thing they were developed and known for before EA tore them apart is Dead Space 1, 2, and 3, being one of my favorite, if not probably my favorite horror franchise of all time. Dead Space 1 is one of two games off the top of my head that I can say that I beat in the same, like right after I beat it, the credits rolled, I immediately converted right into a New Game Plus and continued playing. There's that and Horizon Zero Dawn, the only two games I can think of that I beat, and immediately that as the credits rolled, I hit Start New Game Plus and continued playing Dead Space 1. They're different, but I still love Dead Space 2 and Dead Space 3.
For different reasons, but they are... They're
still great games. Yeah. I know the head guy for Striking Distance. He there's a more recent thing about he actually went to EA again after the EA did a remake of Dead Space 1 with none of them involved, I'm sure, went and tried to pitch the Dead Space 4 story again and was turned down, because that's what EA does, because Dead Space didn't make $1 billion like their Battlefield games or whatever nonsense they try to do. And I think the CEO of Striking Distance has left after the not success of Callisto Protocol. And I wish I could say Callisto Protocol was more of a glorious spiritual successor, because it's trying to be somewhat of a spiritual successor to Dead Space. It has stuff we're going to mention that are nods and are kind of related, but they really messed up the gameplay.
Yeah.
Like, savagely messed up the gameplay.
So you've spoken about it a little bit. The director is a gentleman named Glenn Schofield. Mm-hmm. And he was the vice president and general manager of Visceral Games, making him the executive producer and creator of Dead Space. Mm-hmm. He is also the co-founder for Sledgehammer Games. You know Sledgehammer?
Yeah, it's a Call of Duty developer.
Yeah, they've made a bunch of... It's really just Call of Duty.
That's all they do is Call of Duty games.
Yeah, Modern Warfare 3, Advanced Warfare, World War 2, Modern Warfare Remake, Warzone, Black Ops, Cold War, Vanguard, Modern Warfare 2 Remake, Warzone 2.0. Yeah, there's just...
They're one of the three in the loop of making sure Call of Duty comes out every year.
And it says that he is the former CEO of Striking Distance Studios. So he left.
He left after Callisto Protocol wasn't well received.
Now, did he... Did he leave or was he asked to leave? I don't know.
I think he announced that he was just leaving the studio. I'm sure he put a lot of...
effort,
work, and love into Callisto Protocol, and it just didn't.
Or they wouldn't let him. Maybe EA was like, "You can't do this. Well, you can't do that."
Well, no, that Striking Distance is not related to.
They
would never work with EA. I mean, besides him pitching Dead Space to EA, I don't know why he even went and talked to him.
Yeah, I feel dumb for saying that.
Rip their freaking company to pieces.
Well, yes and no. I guess you're just desperate for people. But I looked into the publisher. The publisher is Krafton. They're a South Korean publisher for games, and they've been around since 2018. Their main thing is PUBG.
Yeah.
So I guess their only thought process is comparing everything to PUBG, and if it's not making that kind of money, don't do it, because they've did other things, but not many.
Well, Callisto Protocol's selling point was a successor to Dead Space, a spiritual successor, and it's not. Like, I'm talking in circles, but like if you sell it that way, is kind of what people are pushing, what people are thinking, and then you play it, and it's not that, then I'm guessing it probably burned a lot of people and stuff like that, and it was just like, man, because it burned me. I don't know why I didn't. I almost, because, again, Dead Space 1 and Final Fantasy 13 are the last two times I remember going to a midnight release at GameStop. I went to a midnight release for Dead Space 1, a horror game. Like, that's how excited I was about Dead Space 1. And then Final Fantasy 13, you know, what's it, the third Final Fantasy 13 podcast? But those are the last two midnight releases I remember going to, or that. So I don't know why I didn't purchase, like, flat-out pre-order Callisto Protocol. I don't know. Usually I would do to support something like that. I didn't for this, and if I did, I'd probably been pretty mad. I don't know why I didn't. Maybe it's my fault there. Game didn't sell well, and their CEOs left.
Maybe.
Normally I would pre-order. Or maybe there wasn't a steelbook. I don't know. There's some reason why. Maybe I had a sixth sense about it, but anyway.
The game, like you said, the game does look gorgeous, and it may have had something to do with like the writing of the story. Maybe the gameplay was there, but the story
was... The story's nothing.
Yeah, the writer is the only thing he's ever written.
Yeah, and the last thing he'll ever write.
And it wasn't super great.
No, not at all. So, do you have anything about the company when we get into the game?
It's getting to the game.
It is still a 3D survival horror focused on realistic graphics. So it kind of the game does. If the game has anything, the game looks good. I wrote in my notes, you play as Jacob Lee, the sweatiest dude in gaming. That dude is like...
constantly glistening.
Constantly covered in sweat. They use real faces. This is an actual actor.
Yeah, you know? The two main people is our main character, Jacob Lee. Is played by actor Josh Duhamel. Mm-hmm. He's been in a lot of...
And he uses his face.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff. Some bigger things is he was in the Transformers franchise. He was in the first one all the way up to last night as a like Captain Linux and Colonel Linux, but he's been in all those. His little rom-com called When in Rome with Kristen Bell. Another one called, I think it's called Instant Family, with him and Katherine Heigl.
Yeah, we ain't gonna do this whole IMDb. Yeah.
And then he's in that 11/22/63 with the Stephen King thing with James Franco.
Yeah,
but I don't mind Josh Duhamel. I think he's a pretty good actor.
I recognize his face in the game, so it's kind of cool.
And then the female lead is she's gotten more popular lately, but she is Karen Fukuhara, and her big thing right now is she is Kimiko on The Boys.
Pretty cool.
And one thing, this more for you and me, Drew, but just because we just went through it, in Pokemon Concierge, she's the voice actress for the main character, Haru.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
That's random.
Yeah.
I would have never replaced that. Isn't the bad guy somebody famous, too?
Maybe.
Did you forget to look him up?
I forgot to look him up, honestly. Yeah, the bad guy. I never encountered him.
Oh, you didn't play far enough to like meet the guy who's the warden. The warden, yeah, he's somebody. What's his name from Star Wars Force Unleashed?
Oh, Sammy Witter?
It might be.
Well, he wasn't the warden. He was like the captain of the guard.
The captain of the guard. Yeah. Okay. So I remember seeing his face. His face is in a couple of games. But anyway.
Yeah, Sam Witter.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm not going to go into all this. So you do end up, like, you crash land your ship. You're not a prisoner, but you do crash land your cargo ship onto this prison planet. And the people take you into the prison and they attach a implant to you, and the implant is what makes it first look like Dead Space. That's what you get, the life bar on the back of your back, which is pretty cool to see it.
The core device.
He actually dies, like Jacob dies while they drill the implant into his back and they revive him. Like they like revive and you see the life bar fill up. So like, so this is all the beginning. You're like, this is cool.
Yeah.
Like this is Dead Space. This is crazy. This is before you get to playing. This is where you're playing. So this is the problem. All this stuff in the beginning for the first 10 minutes is all really cool because you're not doing anything yet besides just experiencing the look of this game and the coolness and then like the violence of it all, and you're just like, okay, use your life bar. And then when you start eventually playing, the prison is being like invaded and like this other stuff is happening with these things called the biophage, and I put in my notes, they're just far less interesting necromorphs.
Yeah,
they're not interesting. They're just screaming at you and running at you, and then you enter into combat for the first time. You pick up this giant wrench. And this is where the game completely falls apart once you start doing this, because after your first fight and the next fight and the next fight, you realize, oh, this is it. There's nothing more to this.
It's swing left, swing right.
So you enter a one-on-one, and then eventually you can get ganged up on, hit by multiple men, but mostly it's a one-on-one melee combat where enemies come at you, and you have to dodge when they swing and dodge when they swing, kind of like, was it Mike Tyson style? What's that old Nintendo game? Daniel knows.
Yeah.
And don't be fooled, Daniel. You might think the Mike Tyson game is fun. This is not. Or maybe you'll love this. Maybe you'll do a video on this on your channel. But you dodge enemies and you take your hit. You dodge enemies and you take your hit. That's the whole game.
That reminded me of, I didn't think Mike Tyson's. I was thinking more like Infinity Blade. It's the same thing. You dodge left, dodge right, strike. Dodge left, dodge right, strike. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the combat. And that combat is not at all Dead Space combat. There's no point. You get like, eventually you do get like a security sword, whatever it is called.
Like a stun baton or
stun
whatever.
Stun baton bladed thing, and you can upgrade it, but it doesn't do anything. Like, you can upgrade the attack power. You can upgrade different parts that don't do anything, because when it comes to the combat, you dodge to the left, and you dodge to the right, you take your hit, you dodge to the left, you dodge to the right, you take your hit. The entire game. And it's like mind-numbingly freaking boring. And then the story is not helping. And then the walking around finding craps doesn't matter, because when you get into combat, no matter how many items you got, you dodge to the left, you dodge to the right, you swing your baton. Like, what in the world happened? I wonder what... These are stories you'll never get to know. Like, what, like, they play tested this. They spent lots of money. Like, the game, the way the game looks, it costs money, you know, and they had mo-capped, you had all of the developers, a lot of the team from Visceral who made Dead Space games, besides atmosphere and exploring, part of the fun of Dead Space is shooting the different various weapons and having a great time killing things in Dead Space. All of that's removed. Like, they put a few random guns in here, but then you can't always use them because ammo is way more scarce, because they want you, they are pushing the melee combat on you.
Yeah.
Like, the only time you ever really do any kind of the other weapons is when you are running into, like, three or four enemies, and you'll try to cap one of them, and you're out of ammo, and then you got to melee the other two that are running at you. Like, it's not, this is not a shooter in any way. They don't meant for this to be played as a shooter. So I don't know how long you ended up playing this.
I played for almost 3 hours. That's it.
Yeah,
almost three.
I'll say my time, and, there's more to talk about, but I will say I did 15 hours. And got 25 of the 46 achievements.
I got 5 of the 46.
Oh, that's DLC. So apparently I was only one achievement away from the 1K, and it was glitched. The one achievement I didn't get was fully upgrading a weapon to get the 1K in the main game, and it was glitched. I fully upgraded a weapon.
And you're just like, nope, I'm done with this game. I'm not doing the DLC. So
there's other stuff. So I had had audio logs. I wrote in here, it's the weirdest thing, because I was following probably the TA guide. Mm-hmm. The audio logs and the guide were out of order, and I'm guessing they were maybe moved or removed in a patch. All my audio logs were not in the order of the guide. Yeah. So they patched something and moved things. A lot of stuff was moved based on the guide. Sometimes guides will note that when stuff has been moved in it, but I don't even know if they knew. Mm-hmm. So like everything was moved. So they patched the game to like move stuff around. And I don't know why. I don't know, man.
Well, even like the whole setup for the game is weird, because Jacob Lee's character is on they're called like the Karen, you know, everyone's got a Greek mythology, the Karen, the farrier of spirits. It's his transport ship. And this facility, the Callista Protocol, the Black Iron Prison, gets attacked by a biological weapon. Mm-hmm. And it ends up being the eco-terrorist, Karen Fukuhara's, Danny Nakamura. And she sneaks onto your ship. And your ship gets shot down because you're flying too close to the prison planet. They have a heightened sense of security. They shoot you down. Mm-hmm. Everyone on your ship dies but you and Danny. They see her on your ship. She's a known terrorist. And you just get arrested. And you're just saying, I don't know her. She snuck onto my ship. But you get arrested. And you're like, this is your life now. No justice, no jury. You're implanted with the core system. And I don't think they give you a name or a prisoner ID. Like, this is your life. Mm-hmm. You attack this prison, and there is no due process or anything like that. So you're like, okay, that's, I guess, in a fascist future society after terror, you know, but you're like, and then the rest of the game is just kind of like everyone hates you for no reason, and then everyone's trying to kill you for no reason because these.
Well, the monsters don't need a reason.
Yeah, they don't need a reason, but you're just kind of like.
Yeah. So a couple other notes I'll run through, because graphics and details in the game does look good. One note. It's kind of random that because you do a lot of vent crawling in this game, because it's just what you do in this game is you crawl through vents. It is like one of the most detailed like vent crawlings, because you crawl in third person, mm-hmm. and the way he maneuvers around corners isn't just like you know when you crawl in a game, usually you just kind of turn and you keep crawling. They have an animation of him as he crawls around each corner.
Yeah.
Like he props himself and he turns, and he props himself and he turns and he crawls. Like, it's like when you first see it, you're like, you don't see this in games. This is weird. Like, it's interesting. Like, I find that crap interesting.
Yeah. Sometimes the amount of detail that goes in, like, the small details, because they matter. Yeah. People know.
Yeah. So there's like a weird amount of detail to him, like, crawling through a vent. I know that sounds dumb, but look at the animation of him crawling through a vent, and you're like, oh yeah, nobody ever made a vent crawling animation that was like, wasn't just a body just turning in a vent to turn a corner. Like, he animates around the whole corner, and it's not a cutscene. Like, you're pushing forward and he kind of does his thing. Of course, there's incredibly limited inventory, like more than any game I've ever played. So you start losing crap immediately or not using it, just dropping it. So I got scared one time from a medical supply box, which is a very Dead Space thing to do. Like, you have medical supply boxes, you open, there's health in them. Mm-hmm. You're happy that one you open, one of the monsters jumps out of the box. I was like, maybe the only time the game ever scared me.
I do remember, I'm getting a memory when we're talking about it, but sneaking past security bots,
yeah. They just murder you instantly in the beginning of the game. They murder you if they spot you. Later, you get one of the weapons, and you can actually kill a security bot.
I remember sneaking through that and just being annoyed.
It's not scary, it's annoying.
It's like, come on, man. There's a fear. Because it's going to kill you when it finds you, but it's not like an actual horror game fear. It's not a fear of annoyance.
It's the fear of redoing the section.
Yeah.
I've heard somebody talk about that in another podcast of a fear done wrong. If you're not scared of what the enemy or the situation, you're more scared of having to redo the situation. That's the wrong kind of fear.
Yeah. And that's exactly what that
this
was.
This has is the wrong kind of fear. You do get the grip glove, GRP glove, which I wrote is the crappy version of telekinesis in Dead Space. Yeah. It sucks. It's incredibly limited. They nerf the bejesus out of it. Like, it is nerfed to an extreme extent. It has a wicked cooldown and crap like that. It's almost nearly unusable. It's so nerfed. Like, it's crazy how bad they made it. But you can grab enemies and pull them to you. One of there's a striking distance achievement I noted where you pull an enemy to you and then you melee him. It's striking distance company. Clever, funny. You can grab things. There's tons of spinning things in this game, like spinning hazards, which is very kind of Dead Space. You can grab things and throw them into it, but you can't use it all the time because of how limited its power source is or something. So you can, again, like three or four enemies, you can maybe grab one and then you got to fight the other three. Like, it's, I don't know.
Well, in my research on it, development for Callisto Protocol began with the formation of Striking Distance in June of 2019. And it was originally developed as a spin-off game in the PUBG Battleground universe. Was what it was originally started as, but it later evolved to its own original property, intellectual property, but it was originally started as like a spin-off of PUBG, like a melee PUBG.
That's what they wanted, was a...
Yeah.
They're not the company for that.
No, but that's what it started out as. But I think, Glenn Schofield's like, we can do this, we can do this, we can do this. Like, put it in a prison, and then he's like, it started evolving, and he's like, oh, this is my chance to do Dead Space 4.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what he saw as Sanchez. They liked the idea when he pitched it, essentially. He's like, I made Dead Space. Let this be Dead Space 4. And they're like, oh, yeah.
Because God, I mean, we're going to get into it. Dead Space 3 ends on a big, pretty big cliffhanger.
Yeah. But that's what it started out as. And so that may have been some of the other thing where they're like, you know, like where the funding went or this, that, and the other. And then, you know, and it has a lot to do with the writing and the story.
Yeah.
The writing and the story is not pulling you in. And the gameplay is not pulling you in. That's 2 out of 3. The third thing would be graphics.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know why I saw it all the way through. Maybe because I had a guide and I wasn't getting stuck.
Yeah, maybe.
And it wasn't very long.
I think this is what you told me. You're like, I really wish I could stop beating these bosses because I don't want to keep playing, but I keep getting through. I think that's what you told me.
I don't remember. So I'll keep going down my little bullet notes here just so we can talk about more about this stuff. I did wrote the every... I always forget to write this stuff down because I wanted to note it for a lot of our games. I don't know if you had one in Silvio, but I wrote the every game has a sewer. The super gross sewer in this game because of the graphics are pretty good. So the sewer is super nasty in this game. It's like Jacob is like covered in dookie. Like, it is, a prison sewer system. It is nasty.
Speaking of that, I wanted to bring something up because I did take some notes. Like, the cool biometric scanners and your mugshot and the way the DNA sequence, like, how you got all the core devices. Like, it's presented to you in a really cool way.
Until you start playing.
But then there's a couple of things. One thing is, I already asked, why did Jacob Lee actually get locked up? It doesn't explain, just you're thrown in there.
Never explains it.
The other thing is, there's a lot of lights. And he's like peeling his eyes because the lights are so bright. But these flashing lights, it's that form of gameplay where it's just like, hey, go this way, dumbass. This is the way you have to go. And I don't mind it being subtle. Like in certain games where they're like, ooh, things you can climb have like a yellow line or a red line.
People talk about that's getting worn out. Like what's it called? Uncharted's wore that out.
Yeah, but this is literally like, go. It's like, you know, the dude on the airline with the flashing sticks. He's like, go this way. He's like dancing and, you know, telling you. It was like you have to go that way. Yeah. And it was like, okay, I'm not stupid. Like, give me a chance to explore. But it was like, go this way. The other thing you're talking about. Poo and disgustingness and stuff like that. While I was exploring, you go into the cell, you know, to find resources, ammo or crafting supplies or something. Every single jail cell, every toilet was clogged with the lumpiest, grossest fecal. Every single toilet.
I didn't even notice. Why are you looking at all the toilets?
Well, because they're in there, and I'm like, in some things, in like Dead Space and like Fallout and stuff, you find items. So I went into every bathroom or every jail cell. I checked under the bed, checked on, opened up cabinets.
Bit chunky duty.
And I was like, well, let me shoot the bowl to see if something pop. And it was just can't shoot. Thwang it then with my pipe, not in a sexual manner, but. Just hit it with my pipe. But it was like every single cell was just like, oh my, I get this is like a death row prison, but have some like
fiber in your diet.
Or have the people at the jail cell should do something about, because I doubt, I mean, maybe everyone got the biophage, like, oh no, my stomach, and blew out all their internal organs in their bath. Every single person did, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
But I just thought that was really funny that I get wanting to make it seem dirty and disgusting.
Yeah.
But like,
well, universe, all the sewer level, so
yeah,
so it all went somewhere.
People blowing out their organs, literally.
Yeah, so I know one of the small details we mentioned, the lights and stuff like that. But there is a part, lots of parts in the game. It's another minor detail, but you don't see it in a lot of games. If there's dark, there's a lot of darkness in this game, and then there'll be like sections where you'll like turn a corner and there'll be a bright light. Like Jacob, like his character model, like holds up his hand. And it's not cutscenes. Like, he holds up his hand, as long as you're facing the game and you're facing the light, he holds up his hand in front of his face to block the light because he's getting, you know, his character's getting blinded. And then another small, dumb detail, but you turn away from the light, he puts his hand back down, you can turn it back, and it's
kind of neat.
Like,
bit.
You know, there's good stuff hidden in here.
Quality was put into the game, but then you think about the publisher and what they were possibly even allowed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you get, you know, conversations and stuff that go on behind closed doors that we'll never know until 10 years from now when he puts out a book, or, you know, because he has an NDA or something. But yeah, what other notes you got? Because I only played for
a bunch of it. There's a section where you fall through space. I think it's falling through space or falling through something. And there's a falling sequence where you're falling through, and I think it says falling is more annoying than cool. It should be like a spectacle, but just you're falling, and you have to like fall through things and move yourself.
I'm guessing everything instant kills you, or
everything instant kills you, and you got to do the whole section over again. I wrote that there's a section, well, some part where you're with Danny quite a bit, and they run through this because they have these new suits and they have the helmets and they're outside in space. Mm-hmm. I like when they get to the other side of this place. I wrote, Jacob and Danny toss their helmets here for no reason. I guess they're not going back outside? ?
Yeah,
they just chucked their space helmets. I guess we're done with that.
We know that we're done with space for the rest of the game.
Yeah, blind enemies with sneaking happens in a lot of horror games. Stabbing. I had a save glitch around here where all my saves were gone. That was probably the end of my playthrough. But I was able to exit out and resync my game to have my saves come back. So that was almost the end of my thing.
Someone who didn't want to play this game, you went out of your way to try to find reasons to keep playing it, even though you didn't want to keep playing it. But we were just talking about that. Like, yeah, if you're not enjoying the game, you should stop playing it. But it's like, sometimes it gets to like a, it's like, I'm going to beat you out of spite.
Yeah, well, I regret it. One of the only few bosses you fight is a monster called, I must have called it Two Head. You fight him multiple times or different versions of him. You do eventually get to the source, they call it, which is not too different. Well, I think they call it the source in Dead Space or some sort of thing like that, the thing that's causing the biophage to happen. You get to a part of that. This is actually a giant alien. Said that Jacob was, and on his thing, Jacob was unknowingly transporting hidden samples in his medical supplies. There's a hidden compartment on the medical supplies that he finds in like 2 seconds. He's just like, oh, there it is. And so it's like that crap. Then you fight an alpha boss, which is beefed up Sam Witter. It's just a brawl. I mean, caught by robots, thrown back in your cell, more fights. I'll get to the end here. I don't want to keep talking about this. So eventually you get to the last boss, and we give our goofy little ratings at the end. This is the first game where a final boss has lowered my rating, even lower than what it already was. So I have like, so you end up fighting the final boss, which is a mutated alpha. It's a Sam Witter. He's mutated further, I guess, and he's a big, big monster. So this sucks. So two things. This, if the boss hits you, you die. You don't. It's one hit kill for a final boss. Okay. Mm. Also, not only is the boss is not alone. The game is random. Well, not random. I think they seem to be, because the guide knew that each phase they spawn, there's these exploding biophage, which you've seen throughout the game.
Yeah.
You get to shoot them before they get to you, because if they get to you, they explode and you die instantly. So it's two things in this final boss fight that kill you instantly. One, if the boss hits you, which you can dodge. The boss hits you, you die. If you're running from the boss and you forget about the exploding biophage and they get to you, you die. Worst boss fight I fought in video games. Absolute worst, excuse my language, most dog shit boss fight I've ever fought in video games. Unreal. Don't know what they were thinking. Like, and I wrote the ending, even though you beat, so I wrote, go ahead.
Wait, it's funny that you mentioned that it was an Unreal, because it was on the Unreal 4 engine.
Yeah, I'll talk about the graphics, yeah. So I wrote the ending to the game, even though I beat it, and I hate it. So my last couple of notes here, the ending is open-ended. The final ending is in the DLC, okay? For my rating, I wrote, this is a really boring 5. The lame combat drops it to a 4, and the insanely cheap and annoying final boss drops this game to a 3. 3 brutal zombie beatdowns out of 10. I hated this.
Yeah.
So, 15 hours. I said, the DLC was on sale when we had this game from Gamefly. I disliked the game enough that I did not want to play the DLC. The DLC was on sale. And I said,
not only on sale, but you would have had a Game Pass discount as well.
It wasn't on Game Pass, but it was Gamefly. Gamefly.
Oh, Gamefly.
It's on, like, so Callisto Protocol, if you really want to play it, as of this recording, Callisto Protocol is on Game Pass. I talked to Blake about, hey, it's on Game Pass. If you want to play it some more before this podcast, he's like, no, thank you.
Nope.
Because I cannot stress enough how bad that last boss is. I can't recommend this. I wish this company had done more. I wish they had. You can do things. People do things all the time where they could have just made a Dead Space 4 and named it something else.
Mm-hmm.
EA, you change enough things, but keep the gameplay. Don't call it Dead Space. Don't reference Dead Space. Don't reference any characters from Dead Space, but make a Dead Space 4. There's a gray area where people do this. Like, I can't think of, I can't get examples off the top of my head. People do these kind of things.
Mighty Number 9 is a perfect example.
The new Suikoden game.
Illudrin Chronicles.
Illudrin Chronicles is just another Suikoden game. Like, you know, people do this stuff all the time. Just make Dead Space. You should have just made Dead Space 4.
Which is what they tried to do, but did it?
No, this isn't. This is so far. Dead Space 4 would have been on, like, if you know the story for Dead Space, the ending of 3, it's like the necrophage have made it to Earth.
Yeah.
So, like, just make Dead Space 4. Change all the wording. Yeah. That's all you had. You could all you had.
Biophage. We had a biophage attack, and this now come to Earth from the moon or some manon.
If they had just made Dead Space 4,
yeah,
that's all I wanted. I mean, I'm one guy who.
Whatever. Yeah, I'm sure you're not the only one that just wanted a Dead Space 4.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. But like, instead they made this, and it's like this may or may not be the CEO done left. This may or may not be the end of this company. You know, like, I don't know what other nonsense they'll plan, or they're going to dissolve, and that's the end of that. That's the end of the history of that company. It's the end of this is the death blows going to Visceral Games. You know. Which I think somebody might... I don't know if they fully dissolved Visceral or, like, EA has, like, kept the name and hired other people. I don't know, because EA owns Visceral. Yep, so that's a sad ending to this part of the podcast.
Unfortunately.
It's one of the most annoying and worst games I've ever had the displeasure of working through. And it sucks because it can trick you with high-quality visuals and stuff like that. The game does look incredible. I didn't even bother YouTubing the final ending. I don't care.
Yeah.
The story is so nothing that you just don't care.
Well, I'm looking at some stuff here, Ty, because I always want to check out the reviews and see if people match our stuff. But it's hard to trust some reviews because you know people pay for better reviews. They obviously do. Because there's not one of these that is, I think, accurate. Like 3.5, well, there's some 6 out of 10s, 5 out of 10s, but then there's like an 8 out of 10, a 9 out of 10. Great, great, great. But then like some of the stuff here says that several publications noted that the game stuttered and had performance issues that affected primarily the PC version, which resulted in mostly negative effects on PC and Steam. And then that same day, they put out a patch to try to fix it. Glenn Schofield said that the technical issues were a result of clerical error from the gaming's development team that they tried to fix, but they didn't realize it was a mistake till after the game had come out. Then other things said, ooh, it balances horror and action, though the story is completely unremarkable. And then they tried to talk about sales. It failed to meet the sales expectation for Krafton. They expected it to sell 5 million units. They then adjusted that to reach 2 million units, which it still didn't reach. And that caused the company to even lower the overall price of the game to try to make people buy it more. Yeah. So it didn't even sell 2 million copies. Yeah. And this was in 2023 when the game came out. So a year later, they lowered, like, let's try to sell 2 million copies and lower the price, and they still didn't sell 2 million copies. I think before the time it had come out.
I think when it comes out and people are playing it and talking about it, that'll be the...
Yeah.
People know too much about it. Like, yeah. You know, I'm not buying it, you know? I didn't buy it, you know?
It did get nominated for a bunch of stuff, but most of that stuff was regarding visual effects and, like, visuals and art. And that was it. But
that's all it had for it, was visuals.
What do you call it? All style, no substance, essentially.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was. I'm glad. I mean, we're not the only people that think the same thing.
Well, it's a generally not well received game. I do see the occasional post. Like when it came to Game Pass, people were like, "Oh, this is awesome." I'm guessing these are people posting in like the first.
Yeah.
People can't wait to write, run, and post to Reddit in the first 5 minutes of something. I don't know what that's about, but like, I'm sure these are people who like quickly maybe didn't enjoy because it can fool you in the first half hour or so. First half hour is pretty good.
So they were really trying, because I was looking at some of the, because besides the spinoff game Redacted that came out quite a ways later, is a month before the game came out, they actually released a 6-episode prequel podcast that had two really big, like it was like a full, what do you call it, full production podcast, and it had Michael Ironsides and Gwendolyn Christie. Gwendolyn Christie is Brienne of Tarth. She also plays Lucifer in Sandman, and she's in, and Michael Ironsides. You know, freaking Michael Ironsides.
Are they in the game?
No, but they play characters who are mentioned in the game, and they did like a something called the Helix Station, and they do it was a 6-episode podcast prior to the game's release, and like trying to bolster people's interest. But then the game came out to a big, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But we can move on now if you want.
Yeah. So we don't end that. So I guess we will, because we got time. We could talk about the last game, so we don't end on a sour note.
Well, I did one more thing that was like a kind of a kick in the pants for this is the fact that they're like, ooh, you can see the true ending, but you got to pay for it.
Huge mistake.
Crafton's basically EA at that point.
Yeah, massive mistake.
Yeah, like
I bet the DLC sales are so low.
Oh God, I can't imagine, because the DLC came out because the game came out December 2nd, 2022, and the Final Transmission DLC came out June 27th, 23, and then June 29th, 23 on Xbox. So they're just kind of like, here you go. Was that 6 months later? Mm-hmm. Almost exactly 6 months later. Like, here's the real ending of the game that you got to pay for it, even though you've already paid $60 for this experience.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, whatever. I feel bad for the actors, but I doubt they feel bad because like, they got paid, so who cares?
And they got paid, moved on.
I see that a lot with people, actors like, do you feel bad making this movie? He's like, I don't care if it sucked. I got paid. I don't care after that.
Mm-hmm.
And which is a bad...
They probably barely even had to promote this.
Yeah. But I am ready to tackle our final game if you are, Drew. Now, this one, Drew and I... Oh, I didn't give Silvio a rating.
Did you have one?
It wasn't awful, but like 5 potato guns out of 10.
Potato shot at ghost out of 10.
Yeah. Salted potato shot at ghost out of 10.
Salty potatoes.
Yeah. Because it wasn't awful, but it couldn't be. It needed a map for sure.
Yeah, I don't have a rating for the final game anyway. I'm getting bad about. I'm bad about doing anything remotely good for this podcast. Besides playing a ton of games to give us content, I don't do none of the additional work. That's probably why everybody hates us.
That's fair. Our final game, like I said, this one's a little more unique, and me and Drew both beat this one.
Yes, we're lighthearted.
It is a game called Wailing Heights.
After the tragic news of today's events, and the loss of the last surviving member of one of Britain's greatest ever rock and roll bands, the next 24 hours, GBB1 will be paying tribute to the Deadbeats. To Fangs, Shaggy, Spectra, and Zedd, may you forever be at peace. The fearsome foursome is reunited once more.
We are the Deadbeats!
And it originally came out April 16th, 2016. It is developed and published by Outsider Games. They have made a total of 3 games thus far, Wailing Heights. Then they have another one called Jennifer Wild, which is a hand-drawn point-and-click game. And then they have another game that's yet to come out, but they're working on it right now, and it's called Tax Force. And it's a action roguelike platformer that's like of the comic book superhero genre.
Lost me at platformer.
That's fair. It is, the engine is Unity. It's another Unity game. It is, director of the game is a gentleman named Stephen Downey. And he's done a couple of kind of cool things. Let me find it real quick. So he's responsible for mostly like artwork from other things. This is his first time directing something. But he was a storyboard artist for that Krypton TV show. He did all the storyboards for that show while it was on air. And then Halo Nightfall. He was a storyboard artist for the majority of those episodes. So
I don't even know what that is.
except it came out in 2014, which is kind of weird because those are all like sci-fi action things, while this is a
kooky monster mash kind of thing. Yeah.
And it's like much more, it's also like the art style makes sense, it's much more cartoony and comic booky and moving, so it's like makes more sense. And the writer is a gentleman named Kevin Beamers. Now, he actually has some pretty cool things. He's done a bunch of other video games. Hector, Badge of Carnage, Schrodinger's Cat, Beyond a Steel Sky, and Palo Pines. I think Palo Pines is currently...
We got Beyond a Steel Sky on Gamefly, if it's the same one. I think I don't know if it was a remake or another version. Really boring. Not his fault, but it's a kind of, it's one of the Gamefly games that I played for a couple hours, and I was like, this is too boring. I'll send it back, and you're like, okay, fine. You probably remember me even playing it.
Not really, I'll be honest.
Beyond a Steel Sky, yeah.
The name vaguely sounds familiar.
Yeah, you didn't even play it. You didn't even install it, because I played it for like one night, and I was like, meh.
You're like, this meets the criteria. I'm done with it. Now, the other cool thing this guy did was, we've actually spoken about his other game he did back on episode 39. He is the writer, which is even cooler too. He's the writer for The Bunker.
Huh, interesting.
Not only that, I didn't realize this, is the Bunker video game came out in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
A year later, they made more footage and connected pieces, and they actually put out a movie, an hour and 47 movie called The Bunker.
What?
They actually have a movie that's extended, and that it's a full movie, not FMV. It's a full blown movie.
Yeah, I mean it's an FMV game, and making a movie is not a stretch.
Yeah, but the following year put out an actual movie.
We can find that.
I have to look into it, but yeah.
I remember joining The Bunker. We play a couple. I have a couple of other FMV games we've played. It's one of the ones.
Yeah, because it did like idle animations for him sitting there. He like rub his neck and look around. Like it was like obviously a loop, but he would like, you know.
Yeah, the FMV games they vary on the how much you interact and what they do and stuff like that, and the general kind of, I don't want to say quality, because I've played them all with pretty good actors. We played we talk about Telling Lies on the podcast. I got a few other ones that we've played. We talked about The Bunker, and did we talk about that one that's all in one night where they're robbing those people? What was that called? Night Shift? We talked about Night Shift.
That was the same episode, Late Shift.
Late Shift and Night. Late Shift.
We did Late Shift and The Bunker in the same episode.
Late Shift was like a movie that you just kind of made quick choices.
Yeah.
Where The Bunker is, you actually got to move around the bunker, and they had video of him moving around the bunker.
And like, go pick up this, click on this item, and he would walk over and show an animation of him using
it. It's not even an animation, it's just a video of him walking over and picking up the item because you told him to. Yeah, it was kind of, Bunker was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And I kind of went on that huge tangent.
He wrote that, but The Bunker had that awesome thing where it turned out, spoilers for people who hadn't, didn't his mom poison the entire bunker so that he could live?
Yeah.
So he would live off the food?
Yeah. It was supposed to be her and him.
She was dying of already.
But yeah.
She was dying of cancer or something already.
So the disease, all because the overseer.
She kind of tricked him to, you put that poison into the air system, and then
it was supposed to help, but yeah.
Killed everybody, so he was able to survive off those. Remember, like, eating the cans of beans every day?
Yeah.
I liked The Bunker.
Bunker was good. And I did all that, and I forgot to talk about some other stuff. They are based in the UK. You know, I had a difficult time finding information about these people, so I had to finding a press kit for one of their other games, and I was able to narrow down some of the stuff from the company. It is five people. They've been around since 2011. The founder is the director, Stephen Downey, and that's kind of it. The people that they have involved is they have a guy who does their composing and music and sound artistry, as well as their filmmaker for anything that it does, dude named Danny Hines. Then their art and direction is a gentleman named John McFarland, and he does all their drawing. And then Mara McHugh is their writer for everything, and then their coder is a dude named Rodney. So everyone's got their job, and they do their jobs and everything. Now, the game is fully voice acted, but it's even cooler to think about, because some of the voices are distinct and different. There's only two voice actors entire game.
Wow,
cool. All the male acting was done by David Fleming, and all the female acting was Rachel McCabe. And they recorded over 4,000 lines of dialogue. There's a lot, like there's a lot of speaking.
So it's not a very. This is a really relatively small game. I think I got my completion in 4 hours. My total completion in 4 hours, according to TA. And this is just like you're gonna talk about, but this is kind of like I won't say it's not really a point and click because I think it's that genre of point and click where you can walk around.
You have control over your character, but it's kind of a point and click, honestly.
You walk back and forth and get items and talk to people. Mm-hmm. Which I'm, this is maybe one of the last ones I've played and maybe the last one I will ever play. I've been in on a whole, like, I can't stand this genre anymore kind of kick recently because I was scrolling through all of our purchased games. A lot of our purchased games were more of this, not this particular one, but more of these adventure point and clicks. I'm just like, I can't do this anymore. So Wuthering Heights might be one of the last ones that I actually played and kind of enjoyed before I've wrote off this genre for a while.
Just because when you play three or four of them back to back, you're just like, oh god. It's like I can do like one a month maybe, or one every 3 months, because they are, but, well, they're not my favorite.
We talk about the game itself. So I think what makes this one unique among other ones is that a lot of point and clicks are people just walking back and forth, pick up this item and talk, which just kind of has that. But this has the unique aspect of, Blake called it like a monster mash, which is basically what it is. Everybody's different kinds of like just monsters. Like, you know, what are all those?
You literally have ghosts, werewolves, vampires, zombies. And then you have other things you don't get to play. It's like other creatures in the background that you semi-interact with. There's like minotaurs and centaurs and stuff like that. It's like a
creature feature, basically, what this thing is.
But you don't. The main crew that you play with is a ghost, a specter, a werewolf, a vampire, and a zombie.
Yeah, and you rotate through them to accomplish little things. And there's not even that many screens of stuff to do. It's like what, 5 or 6 total, like really screens inside this little town here.
Yeah, the Wuthering Heights specifically. It's like a subdivision of a whole town.
Oh yeah,
it's like the district you're in.
It's been a while for me. Do you remember the parts of the story of what is kind of the overarching kind of thing here?
So the whole point, the thing starts. You play as a character named Francis Finkelstein, and he is the producer for one of the biggest music groups of all time. He is the one-time manager of the all-time greatest rock band that Great Britain ever produced, called the Deadbeats. And then during all of this, Finkelstein is invited to go to a show that no one's ever heard of. When he gets there, he is arrested. And then he's arrested and he's charged with the crime of being alive, because he ends up accidentally going to the undead, where all the deadbeats have actually died and come to this place. And so then you go through this whole thing where you're like, I'm alive. Well, you can't be. No one alive is allowed to come here. And then there's this whole little silly British humor about, like, well, have you done this? Have you done this? He answers all these questions as no. We're like, well, you're basically dead anyway, so we're going to throw you in jail. He's not married. He doesn't have a family. He doesn't have any friends. And all this other stuff. He's not rich. He's homeless. And it being really funny. And then it goes into, like, the concept of the game is he gets this body swap medallion. Mm-hmm. But in order to do it, he has to find out people's life story. He needs their name, something they love, something they hate. And then it creates a song about those three ingredients. And then he sings the song and he gets to swap bodies with that person.
Yeah. Pretty interesting. It's very strange.
Because like the whole game is just spoofs and spinoffs of like different things. Like the very first character you meet, the ghost, is your lawyer, is named Saul Goodman, which is, you know, it's Saul Goodman. It's not even that big of a stretch. And he's a lawyer. He's like a skeevy lawyer. But you find out that his name's Saul Goodman. He loves crispy chocolate chip cookies and hates when his pen doesn't work. And then there's like, once you get those three ingredients from like listening to him talk and stuff like that, then it breaks into his song. And each time you transform or you swap bodies, it plays the song.
Yeah, look at this written song with a bit of a jam. It's all about 10, 15 seconds.
I think it's like 20 seconds or less. Mm-hmm. It's like Saul's is like, there's like a little chorus that sings his name. It's like Saul Goodman. And then it's like, my name is Saul Goodman. I like when my cookie's crisp. When my pen doesn't work, it makes me really pissed. Or something like that. It's like,
yeah, that ain't
but, yeah, but you can, like, I was able to find an OST, but I was able to find the songs
on YouTube.
On YouTube. So our editor should be able to find those.
Maybe.
And insert certain songs. Particularly me making an ass of myself with the Saul Goodman. He should be able to play it right here and you can actually hear it.
Saul Goodman. Saul Goodman. Saul Goodman.
His name's Saul Goodman. Likes his chocolate chip baked inside of the dough. He likes his cookie crisp. But messy writing, he can't handle that. And broken pens, that's what makes him snap.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. I enjoyed it. It makes you kind of chuckle when you change for the characters. The thing is, it plays them every time you swap characters.
Yeah. Well, if you were winging it, it'd probably be much more annoying.
Yeah, we had a guide.
But having a guide and, you know, I have to switch every so often. Because you do... Let me pull it up. Because the people that you go to, you have Saul Goodman, a lawyer. Then you have Lola, a hipster vampire. Abnorm, who is a beta werewolf. Then you have Debbie Decay, who's a zombie lounge.
Is it Norm Abnorm? Isn't he not like a Cheers thing? Is there a Cheers joke
Norm.
With him?
Yeah, well, the way what he's wearing and everything, he's Norm.
Yeah, but don't they? I know that. But don't they do where he walks in the thing and they do the Norm thing?
Yeah, Abnorm. They do every time he walks into the werewolf bar.
Not an obscure, but like it is like obviously not even a stretch. They even call him Norm, so it's a Cheers. Yeah. Nod.
And the whole
a fat sad werewolf.
He's a, like I said, he's a beta wolf.
A beta wolf. He's not an alpha. He's a beta.
He's
wolf.
A beta. And you just, like I said, it's a graphic adventure. You go around, you talk to everybody, you find out clues. And part of your thing is you're like, for like Abnorm, you're like, what's Abnorm going on? And you're like, and you talk to everybody, and you slowly figure out his story that like he's so sad because he lost his favorite stick. And then he's so angry because he's so happy because everyone loves him. And like his song is like, he's Abnorm. He loves when the moon's out, but he's sad because he lost his stick. And there's a song that hits all those key points. And it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
And they're all different genre. Like Soul was a rap. Lola's is like a indie pop. His is like kind of like a country.
Silver bullet slowing down, but his paws were just as quick. So where in this doggy doggy world did Abnorm lose his stick?
Thank. Hopefully Brian can find him. You can see they're all different.
And then Debbie's
I think Lola's was the best.
Lola's was pretty decent. Saul Goodman's was silly. Debbie Decay's was like a lounge singer. Debbie Decay, and they do it, and so they're all pretty good. But the whole point of this is you're interacting with all of these people because you're trying to get all of the deadbeats back together to play a song, because that's what you were hired to do. And you're like, let me get these guys back together. I'll be honest, I don't remember any of the deadbeats. I remember Fangs the vampire, but I don't remember anybody else's name. I feel like I should have wrote that down. But you interact with them. Like, the whole point of getting each of these characters, you get this vampire so you can speak to the vampire bar to talk to Fangs. You speak to the werewolf so you can speak to the
werewolf. Each of the deadbeats is one of these types, right?
And yeah, and Debbie Decay is a zombie, and she's, you know, she's the, what do you call it, the opening act for the deadbeat. I forget her name. And then it's funny because, spoilers... You know, just a slight spoiler alert here for people who are going to play this game. If you haven't played, you do plan on playing it, stop here, go play it, and come back. But it all builds up to this thing where you are successful, you get all the deadbeats to come together, and they're going to play their number one hit song. Because it says, as the game says, you were a one-time manager to the deadbeats. But they hated you so much that their number one song was called Bite Me Finkelstein. And it was their number one hit of all time because of how much they hated you as their manager. And so the whole thing comes to this culmination where this bad person was trying. He was it's like revealed that he's the unbeknownst fifth member of the Deadbeats. And he played like the triangle or something, but was kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
And he hates, he wants to ruin their career forever in the afterlife. And so he turns into this crazy monster. And the whole thing at the end is Finkelstein's the guys, the punchline is Finkelstein goes, guys, bite me. And you're like, haha. And then he gets bit by a vampire, a zombie, a werewolf, and a ghost, and becomes this super Finkelstein monster where he's a werewolf, vampire, ghost, zombie. And you end up fighting the fifth deadbeat, and you win in like a little, it's like a little time battle, but you're like finding the songs to say, and I had to, obviously had the answers to what to say and to kill him, but
yeah,
it was fun and silly, and graphically it was really pretty. I think it was this really gorgeous little, these comic book art style and stuff.
Yeah, I remember overall, I mean, there's enough of a, unique enough that we would play that all the way through. Like I've quit a lot of point and click games over the years, even recently a lot of point and click games. So this one was at least entertaining and silly enough, and just enjoyed it enough to like see it. I mean, granted, only 4 hours. Like it's like
yeah, a single I played sitting. For 5 hours and 44 minutes.
Yeah, so like two sittings with you, maybe two or three sittings.
But because it is a lot to do. Any click, and it that's a good time. Any point and click adventure game that's over 5 hours that's not good.
Yeah.
They should be 5 hours or less always.
Get to the point.
Get to the point. Have a couple of jokes, and if it's funny, I'll play it again. But chances are, I generally don't like point-click adventure games. I generally don't like them because of how vague they are.
Yeah.
But that's part of the fun. You're supposed to use your brain. Like, it's not using my brain when I'm constantly just combining everything in my inventory to try to find the solution. But anyway, overall, I liked it. And it's the shortest game I played. Like, I spent 13 hours in Silvio and 3 in Callisto Protocol. And I did enjoy this more than the other two.
Yeah.
This is the one, I guess, because we went in on a happy note.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's worth it. It was on the, this was part of, this, like, Silvio was on the me scrolling through purchase order, whatever order it was. So we spend around $5 or less. I think it's worth, $5. You can catch it on sale anytime around the, throughout the year. Probably more likely to find it on sale on the Halloween era.
Yeah, for sure.
So anybody guess the, so last time we did a podcast like this, episode 121, he said there was the only similarity from the games was they were all first person shooters that time.
I think so, yeah.
I remember what it was, like Doom Eternal,
Shadow Warrior 3, and something else.
Did we talk about High on Life then?
I don't think
we did. So, but anyway, the only similarity between these three games, because they're all completely different genres, is they're all got a horror aspect to them, or they've all got monsters. This is our scary episode. First one had ghosts, then biophages, and then the last one was a smorgasbord of monsters, of terrifying creatures.
Atomic Heart,
that's right. So we haven't talked about High on Life yet. Mm. Atomic Heart, what a disappointment that was. Yeah. So that's the only similarity between these games. They've all got monsters in them. Did we do that on purpose? Yes.
We tried.
We did very try. Loosely to like when we were picking other, because there's always lists of games that we play so many games that there's always these certain games where we're like, I don't want to talk about this game for an hour and a half. You know, I didn't like it enough, or we both didn't beat it or something like that. Now, we do have really good games sometimes, or better games, like Blake wanted a whole episode dedicated to Midnight Suns, which is perfectly fine. So this isn't like that. But
not because I loved it, because it did kind of deserve, there's a lot to talk. Yeah,
we have a game that we're going to give a whole episode to coming up eventually that neither one of us beat at all, but we think it deserves a longer talking about. I won't say it here yet, but I'll tell you after. Yeah, you probably know what I'm talking about. Maybe we both ended up quitting it because it was just too much. In the most recent post about that game saying, like, trim it up, people. Anyway, I'm talking about a game we're not talking about yet. Anything to say about any of the three games we talked about before we announce what we're talking about next?
Like I said, you got the body hopping. Well, each the traversals, music. I think we kind of covered everything.
Yeah.
That I wanted to.
Of the three games, I would tell people to play Wailing Heights.
Which is kind of sad to say, but yeah, definitely.
Which is weird because of all the genres, it's the genre we like the least.
You are not wrong.
So it's kind of funny how that turns out sometimes. When you play as many games as we do, it's funny when you stumble into little things like this, because it seems the most unlikely one to want to play, but we enjoyed it the most.
Yeah. Do you have even a joke one? Do you have like a rating for Wailing Heights real quick? Just something to
not off the top of my head, because I'm bad about it. I mean, I give it because I was smiling while we were talking about it, thinking about the stuff. It's like a 7 or an 8 maybe, because I enjoyed it. Like, and it's like you said, get in there, get your 4 hours and get out, and kind of leave on a high note. And
Yeah. Just because it made me laugh every time, because the music was fun and stuff like that. But every time Abnorm, when you walk in, and the fact that he introduces himself, he's like, "Hi, I'm Abnorm, the Beta, a Beta werewolf." So I'm gonna give it 7 Beta werewolves out of 10.
Yeah, it's a good time. So we do remember this time to talk about the next game we're gonna talk about, or games. This is kind of a pair of games, but they do run into being one game. So it's kind of per usual for our podcast. The gaming, modern, current gaming people are talking about Yi's 10 Nordics, and because Nordics is the newest release for the Yi's franchise, so people are talking about Nordics right now, and the new, there's a new version of Nordics coming out, so the newest Yi's game, and Yi's is Y-S, it's hard to pronounce, it's an action RPG series from Falcom, and people were also talking about the re-release of the Yi's memoirs, Oath of Illful Gaia, is getting a re-release. So there's two newer versions, a brand new Yi's game, and a re-release of one of the ones later in the franchise. So, of course, with everybody talking about that, me and Blake are going to do an episode on Yi's 1 and 2.
Yep.
The two games that nobody's talking about, because that's what this podcast is about.
Giving you the stuff that you don't want, talking about stuff that you didn't know you wanted to not know about.
What?
You'll figure it out.
Yeah. So we played, because we started with like Yi's 8, I think. I think we played that pre-podcast.
Lacrimosa of Donna, yeah, was 8.
Was that before the podcast?
Oh, yeah.
So that's where we kind of picked up the Yi's franchise, was on, because Yi's 8 was a really pretty successful make, like kind of popped it off in America pretty good. It'd been around for a long time. 9 and 10 have since come out, obviously, like I said, and they're starting to re-release some of the older ones onto modern consoles, which they haven't done with Yi's 1 and 2. Me and Blake managed to, for some reason, we played the, I think is pretty close to the PSP versions, but on Steam. Because my little laptop here can actually run PSP games, apparently. So we played Yi's 1 and 2 on Steam. We said we would play them back-to-back because literally when you beat Yi's 1, Steam auto-launches right into Yi's 2. And when you look it up, the director of the two games basically says it's one longer plot line of the game, which nothing else in the franchise, I don't think, does that. So we're going to cover them both. We'll say too much about them here. We did kind of enjoy them. There's some highs and lows. They're very, very different from the modern takes of because Yi's has the way action combat has worked over the years, obviously has, especially if you put like Yi's 10 and then whatever the Oath of Philgaia re-release, like those two games look completely different. Like Yi's has changed a lot over the years. We're going back to the first two. We'll end up talking about the thing we want to talk about the most is probably the combat system there. And we'll probably mention the other ones that we've played, because I've played a couple of other Yi's games that I don't know if we'll get full episode. But I think this is per use for our podcast. Let's talk about the game that nobody's talking about. So people be mad that we won't talk about the new ones, which is perfectly fine. So, yeah, you can find them on Steam. Very, very cheap if you want to play them. I mean, without spoiling the podcast, I would recommend them. I enjoyed them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not as much as a modern take on stuff. I enjoyed them more than one of the... Because I played one of the other... I'm spoiling stuff. I played one of the other releases to modern console. I played...
Memories of Celeste, yeah.
Memories of Celeste or something like that. Something like that. I played that one, and that one's kind of forgettable. So I don't know. But we'll talk more about that when we do the episode. So I guess we'll start wrapping things up here. I was hungry before we started this podcast. I know I say that every time we get on the end of these podcasts. Boy, am I starving because I'm a fatty. So I will start by wrapping up by thanking Jared and the guys of Emerge for letting us use the song Letting Go. If you are listening to this episode for this first time listening to this podcast, go back to the episode before this one. 130, because Jared from Emerge is on his second appearance on the podcast and had a great conversation with us about music. Actually shared some insight into some of his most recent concerts that he's played, because they've been to a lot of shows, and a little bit of insight into the actual song Letting Go, which I thought was a lot of fun. So it was a really great episode. We had a lot of fun talking with him. And, of course, go to social media and find Emerge. They have, like a few days ago from this recording, they had posted a bunch of tour dates. Mm-hmm. So they're on the move and got new music coming. So definitely give those guys all your love and support. Also want to thank Miladin Markovic, a.k.a. Devious Pixel, for the art for this podcast, which he also supplied the...
An awesome special art
for the new art for Jared. Yeah, with Jared shooting lightning out of the guitar. Because, like, we didn't talk about games too much with Jared, but he did talk about Elden Ring a bit. And what's in Elden Ring? There's probably dragons. So we have him with a guitar shooting lightning at a dragon.
Awesome. A two-headed dragon.
So it's awesome. So thank, you know, Devious Pixel for always jumping on. He also has... We won't spoil it yet, but he's also... got us a thumbnail for our
RoboCop
videos for Blake for YouTube. So he's made a thumbnail for that, which is the funniest and coolest thumbnail I've ever seen for something. Stupid. We're not sharing it yet. I sent it to Brian the other night. He agreed that it's quite awesome. But Devious also supplied that. We'll be sharing that before too long. And mentioning Brian there, we'd like to thank Brian for continuing to hang out and edit the podcast. I know editing's not always fun, and sometimes we make it harder than it needs to be when we request additional work, like finding specific songs. Usually I tell them, hey, find whatever song you like and put it at the beginning and one at the end. Every now and then we pick specific things, and he has to do a little bit of extra work, and he's probably like, dang, I'd rather be playing a game than listen to these guys talk about this. Listen to these guys talk about a game that I'm not going to play.
Yep. When in doubt.
Yeah. So thank you, Brian, for doing that for us. That's all I got. So I'll pass it over to Blake to do the final wrap up for us.
I want to wish everybody a good evening and good night.